Hey, it's Mike Halford from the Halford and Brough podcast. One, thanks for downloading. Two, thanks for listening. Three, why not leave a review while you listen to the podcast? And now, back to the show. Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Friday. Sweet, sweet Friday. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
Good morning.
Laddie.
Hello.
Oh, the band is back together. The Wolf Pack, as it was. The Halford and Brough Show in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Jason, as they said in the NHL morning skate notes, there is nothing like a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we are now guaranteed not one, not two, but three. When is the last time this happened? Three Game 7s on Saturday.
The Dunbar Lumber text line is already filling up.
It's got tens of messages.
If you want to text in your comments on whatever's going on in sports, all the Game 7s, the Leafs' failure to put away the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, or it is Ask Us Anything Friday on the Halford and Brough Show, where you can literally ask us anything. Suri Ryan texts in, Brough needs to hand in his Canucks card. Sympathizing with the enemy last night on Twitter for shame. Yeah, I tweeted out right after the Leafs lost that game that it was so sad that I couldn't even be mean about it.
It was a rare glimpse of empathetic / sympathetic Brough.
You know what it was? It was, it wasn't the players. It wasn't anything to do really with the organization. It was the fans. What do they have? What do they call that place outside the Scotiabank where the
Maple Leaf Square?
Maple Leaf
Jurassic
Square.
Park.
Yeah. So it's what? It's a Jurassic Park for the Raptors game, and then Maple Leaf Square. They have a quick name change.
Mm-hmm. Rebrand.
And it's Maple Leaf Square. Those fans out there look so hopeful. And then they panned to them after Tampa Bay scored.
Like immediately after Tampa Bay scored.
And they looked so shell-shocked and so sad. And I think I saw my face like 10 years ago in those faces where I was just like, I can't believe this is happening kind of thing. And I just felt like just a moment of empathy where I didn't feel like that was the time to be like, Leafs! You idiots, you joking idiots. You had all these chances to put away the Lightning. You couldn't get it done. Bah! You know, I was just like, you know what? I just feel a little bit bad for them.
But then you circled back later and apologized for feeling bad for them. You said it was a moment of weakness.
I humanized those Leafs fans, and that was my first mistake. Because if you see them as humans, then it's a lot harder to be mean to them.
It's true. Believe me, it's true. We have a big show ahead on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. 7 o'clock, Jack Michaels is going to join us. He's going to Game 7. He is. The Oilers are going to Game 7. A big, big victory for them in Game 6 in Los Angeles last night. So Jack Michaels will join us at 7 to talk about how they got the job done despite not having the services of Darnell Nurse. They're on to Game 7. They've been a very interesting series. And now Edmonton gets a chance to move on at home in front of their home crowd on Saturday night. 7:15, Joe Leary is going to join us just here for the Beer Radio. A little booze talk at 7:15 in the morning. That's well positioned. 7:30, Jeff Merrick's going to join us, host of the Jeff Merrick Show, right here on Sportsnet. We can talk about the Leafs game. We can talk about everything that happened last night with Jeff, and then I suppose we almost need to look forward to what's going to be an amazing sports viewing Saturday. Because the NHL, in its infinite wisdom, has not doubled up any of these start times. You have a full day and night of Game 7. Basically.
I think we should also talk with Jeff about what they've been talking about on his show, and that is the Bruce Boudreaux situation and how it's just kind of weird. I'm going to ask Jeff, like, what do you make of it? What do you make of this situation that Bruce Boudreaux still hasn't said whether or not he's going to coach the Vancouver Canucks next season? Now, he's largely expected back, and there have been reports, I think it was Vancouver Hockey Now, that reported and maybe reached out to Bruce Boudreaux, and the expectation was that he was going to be back, but there were a few minor details to figure out. are they minor? Like what is a minor detail to figure out? Is it, does he want like a closer parking space in Rogers Arena? Does he
larger per diem?
Yeah, something like that. Does he want maybe some money for some clothes?
He wants franchise rights to the Bruce There It Is music.
Or maybe he doesn't want to be told how to coach.
Maybe.
Maybe that's one of the minor details. I don't know. Like, we'll just talk to Jeff about it. And because those guys have been calling it weird, right? Mm-hmm. So let's expand on that with Merrick.
So that's coming up at 7:30. Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show here on Sportsnet. 8 o'clock, Kevin Woodley, NHL.com, In Goal Magazine, Laddie's superior? Is it your boss?
Co-worker. He's my editor.
We'll talk to Woodley about everything that's going on. Like, we'll do the same kind of sort of thing with Merrick. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs at large, and then we'll focus back on the Vancouver Canucks, although while it is quiet times for the Vancouver Canucks right now, as Jason alluded to, the Bruce Boudreau decision continues to hang in the ether as we try and figure out whether or not he'll be back as the head coach, and we'll find that out presumably either by next week, which we'll talk about later on in the show, or at the very least by the June 1st deadline, that mythical deadline, which isn't really a mythical. It's real. It's hanging in the air. What else is on today and tonight? Three Stanley Cup playoff games. As you could probably do the math, they're all game sixes. That's what you get at this stage of the game. So you get the Rangers and Penguins, and we got a lot to decide there, especially on the health of Sidney Crosby. Florida and Washington. The Panthers will look to win a Stanley Cup playoff first round series for the first time since 96, if I'm not mistaken. And finally, Calgary gets a chance to punch its ticket to the second round tonight against Dallas. NBA playoffs, Boston-Milwaukee, which has been an amazing series. The Bucks have a chance to close that one out. Memphis-Golden State, we kind of joked earlier that Golden State was waiting for tonight because they didn't show up the previous game. They said, you know what, we'll meet you in San Francisco on Friday night. We'll take care of business there.
They sent their stunt doubles to Memphis, and it turns out the stunt doubles, not good at basketball.
The reeling Toronto Blue Jays, Laddie, just big frown on his face about the Blue Jays' current state of affairs. They open a series against the Rays. The World Hockey Championship begins today, Jason. The Worlds are underway. Canada will take on Germany. Coverage starts at 10 o'clock our time. And finally, he mentioned it, ask us anything Friday. You can ask us about anything. Life, love, food, sports, I guess. Technically, we are supposed to do sports. We are supposed to be shaping the sports conversation in this city. We're going to do that by not talking about sports for long periods of time over a three-hour window. That's what's happening on the program today. Boys, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No.
What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
Where else would we begin other than Tampa Bay? Yes, because that's where the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing hockey last night. Braden Point scored at 18:04 into the first overtime session. The Tampa Bay Lightning evened up their first-round series with the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-3, thanks to a 4-3 victory on Thursday night in Game 6 at Amalie.
Torgy texts in, I thought I was watching the Canucks. I was so invested and excited watching the Bolts win. Torgy is very much cheering for the Tampa Bay Lightning, as are a lot of people. A lot of our listeners are cheering for the Lightning. Poor Aaron in Coquitlam, who somehow likes our show, even though we relish the moments when the Leafs choke. Aaron texts in, Game 7, I called it, but dared to dream I was wrong. Ask us anything Friday, why the hate for the Leafs? Is it the fans? Is it the media coverage? Is it simply to troll Leafs fans? I've never understood the national phenomenon known as Leafs hate. Thanks, guys. I think it's dependent on who you're talking to. Some people don't like all the media coverage that the Leafs get. Some people don't like the fact that a team that really hasn't done anything for a long, long time gets so much attention. Some people just think it's funny. And some people are just kind of doing it tongue-in-cheek. Like, they're just, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's a tradition to try and watch, to watch the Leafs try and win this game that they haven't been able to win for almost two decades. And by that, I mean the game that takes them just to the second round. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, you know, the Buffalo Bills going back to Super Bowl after Super Bowl and they keep losing it. it's just get to the second round. That's it. It's been almost two decades now, and the Leafs have found ways to not get there, whether it was with the team, the Phil Kessel team and the Dion Phaneuf team that went into Boston in Game 7 and had the Bruins on the ropes and then completely collapsed. You know, the game, everyone says it was 4-1, and then it wasn't. Whether it was the other Game 7 they played in Boston and couldn't get it done, or it was having the Montreal Canadiens up 3-1 and then somehow blowing that. And then we get to this year, and all eyes are on the Leafs, and all their history stacks up. And then they have this opportunity last night to put away the Tampa Bay Lightning. And even guys like me were like, I think they're going to get it done. I think this is it. I think this is the team. They've shown something. And they showed it again last night, to tell you the truth. They showed a lot of heart last night. Once again, they were down 2-0. Once again, they fight back to take the lead. They get into penalty trouble. One of them might not have been a penalty. And they surrender that tying goal that takes them to overtime. They have multiple chances to score in overtime, but they couldn't get it done. And then Braden Point gets it done for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Actually, it was Michael Bunting who ended up putting the puck in his own net. But you get the point, right? Like, it's just one game the Leafs need to win. And then all this teasing and, frankly, bullying will stop. But it is a factor for the team. And they can say all they want about how we just need to go out there. What did Austin Matthews say? We just got to go out there and put our balls on the line and do it.
I haven't heard that phrase before.
No. But, I you know, this is the thing. It's easy to say, well, we don't think about the history of the team, or I wasn't a part of some of those teams that fell apart. Yeah, but, like, you're part of it now. Like, welcome to it. Teams have done this before. Teams have gotten over curses before. We've seen it very recently, actually. Start with the Red Sox. They got it done. And they did it in spectacular fashion, battling back to beat the Yankees from a 3-0 deficit. That was the kind of what they needed to do that, to be able to do that. And then that got them over the hump, and they were able to break their curse. We've seen it from the Chicago Cubs. They broke their curse. A bunch of hockey teams have gotten out of the sad club, whether it's the LA Kings, the Washington Capitals, the St. Louis Blues, all those teams broke the curse. And now we're waiting for the Toronto Maple Leafs to do it in an odd way, though, because it's just like, hey, get out of the first round, right? That's what makes it so compelling, that this team that gets so much attention always seems to find a way to wilt in the end, in the biggest moments.
Yeah, and this is yet another opportunity that the Leafs had, as we go back to last night's game, another opportunity to move on. They had multiple kicks at the can last year against Montreal in the first round when they jumped out to a 3-1 series lead and blew all of those chances. That does make the pain that you're talking about that much worse. Is it's not like they're going into these series and are getting swept, or it's 4-1, they got gentlemen swept. Like, this is, gentlemen swept, I suppose, this is a situation where they've had the games in their grasp and they didn't get it done. So last night especially, and you've got it in the notes, if they do not get this done on Saturday, you're going to look back and say the Alex Kerfoot game in Game 6 is one that's going to hang around for a long time, because that was a tough, tough series of events for him, especially the penalty that led to the 5-on-3 that led to the Kucherov goal. Because if you have they had a third period lead, 3-2, in a game to advance to the second round. So it was right there. We're talking about, I believe it was about midway through the third period. So three quarters of the game is done. You've got a real opportunity to go and get the job done right then, and they didn't get it done.
Alex Kerfoot missed multiple chances to score, both in regulation and overtime. He had a bad giveaway, an inexplicable drop pass giveaway on Tampa's first goal. And as Mike mentioned, he put the Leafs down two men in the third, which led to the tying goal. He had an absolute nightmare out there. So a lot of people were kind of making fun of me yesterday because I showed like a touch of empathy for the Leafs and their fans. Here's the thing. it is almost cruel that the Leafs are showing so much heart in this series, and they still haven't been able to get it done. Like, I don't think, like, when you're watching the Leafs and you're watching them come back and score big goals, and you can say what you will about, you know, back-to-back games where they don't get off to a great start and they're losing 2-0, right? Like, that's a problem, obviously. But a lot of Leafs teams in the past, it feels like they would have just given up. Like, this Leafs team is showing something. They are showing clutch characteristics in coming back and, you know, they're down 2-0 and then you score 3 quick goals to take the lead. Now, in game 5, they got it done and they held on and they won. In game 6, they didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's almost like the hockey gods are just finding new and exciting ways to punish Leafs fans unless they get it done. And by the way, I am not buying the notion, and we had a few people text this in yesterday that said if the Leafs lose game 6, they are done. There's no way they will be able to go back home and beat the Lightning in game 7. I'm not buying that notion because I have a few, I just, in sports history, granted these don't involve the Leafs, but remember when the Canucks in 2011 went up 3-0 on the Hawks and then they lost 3 in a row. There were a lot of people out there, a lot of people who watched that and they said the Canucks are done. Mm-hmm. They are finished. There is no way they're going to be able to clutch up in game 7 and come up with a win.
And they almost didn't.
They nearly blew it, but they did get it done thanks to Alex Burrows. Another example, and I always think this series got overshadowed in Canada because the Raptors were winning their title at the time, but the St. Louis Blues-Boston Bruins series. St. Louis, which was a member of the SAD Club, which had a long, long, long history of playoff disappointment, had a Game 6 at home to beat the Boston Bruins and win the Stanley Cup. They didn't get it done. And a lot of people thought that that was it. Like, they had blown their chance. Now they go to Boston, and we all know how Boston gets in big games. Like, it's a great crowd. It energizes the Bruins. It's certainly been energizing the Bruins this season. And the Blues went back to Boston, and they won the game. So it doesn't always fit the narrative of, like, this team is crushed, and there's no chance in this final game. This team is, like, Bill Simmons' theory,
Ewing theory?
No, not the Ewing theory. It was the theory of the dead man walking theory.
Oh yeah.
So he had this dead man walking theory where there's still a game to go, but the team is dead. And he based it on the 1986 Red Sox, who, you'll remember the Bill Buckner error, and a lot of people think that was the deciding game, and that when the Mets won that game, they won the World Series. Well, that wasn't the case. They had to go back to Boston to play game 7, but Bill was like, that was a dead man walking team. Like, they had no chance in that. I don't buy that notion with this Leafs team. Maybe I'm a sucker. I still think they got a really good chance to get this thing done.
So elsewhere in the National Hockey League last night, another Canadian team goes to another Game 7, a gutsy effort from the Edmonton Oilers last night. Tyson Barry, the go-ahead goal with just about 5 minutes remaining. The Oilers even their Western Conference first-round series against the Kings with a 4-2 victory at Crypto.com. Wonder if they're regretting the naming rights on that one. Crypto.com Arena on Thursday. So the best of 7 now tied at 3-3. It goes back to Edmonton for Game 7. On Saturday night, and this was an interesting, coined it as a gutsy effort, but there was a nice lead that the Oilers jumped out to. There was a good coaching moment, and they didn't wilt in the third period when the Kings evened it up at 2, and it looked like the momentum might have shifted to the home team, who had a chance to close out the Oilers on home ice. There was a really interesting dynamic at play here. I don't know how much you watched of this game. In the first period, Jay Woodcroft said, and he didn't say it out loud, but with his actions, he said, we're going to play this game, and I'm not going down without a fight. And by fight, I mean using Connor McDavid as much as humanly possible. kudos to the coach for realizing that he has the best player on the planet. So I got the numbers here yesterday. McDavid started and played most of the game on a line with Dreisaitl, right? That was the big thing. Let's load him back up. Let's try and get him going. He then played between Zach Cassian and Jesse Puljujärvi. He then played between Evander Kane and Kyler Yamamoto. He then played between Evander Kane and Leon Dreisaitl, and then played again between Evander Kane and Zach Hyman.
He subbed in for Mike Smith?
He just played center the entire first period. And it was interesting to see because of all the coaches that have had McDavid, Woodcroft statistically is the guy that has used him, I guess for lack of a better phrase, the least. Mm. He restrains his minutes a little bit in order to try and keep him a little bit fresher. He tries to knock a couple minutes of ice time. Not last night. And McDavid responded with a really big effort. The Oilers in general, that to me was a very gutsy victory by the Oilers down the services of Darnell Nurse on someone else's ice. But in a very different sort of way, they are also facing the same sort of pressures that the Leafs are facing now, except it's almost the inverse. I think a lot of people think the Oilers got over the hard part surviving in L.A. Now they get the opportunity to go back home and take care of business, whereas with the Leafs, I think there's a lot more trepidation because of the history.
Right.
It's like, you're going to have to go choke this game 7 away. Oh, but you're going to have to do it in front of your home fans. So I think it's a very interesting dynamic at play with Edmonton. I can't get a good read on the Kings if they're dead men walking because they just blew a golden opportunity in game 6 at Crypto. They got that game square in the third period. They had a chance to put away the Oilers. They didn't do it. And now they got to go back to Edmonton for game 7.
Don't the Leafs seem so much more compelling than the Edmonton Oilers, though?
There's a way more compelling story because even though the Oilers have their own demons.
Yeah. But that's the thing. They do have their own demons.
Mostly in the McDavid era.
Yeah.
The Leafs' inability to get out of the first round dates way earlier, way, way earlier. And the Leafs have the theater of having that game in Tampa Bay in their grasp and frittering it away on the heels of a playoff series last year where they had not one, not two, but three chances to close out the Montreal Canadiens and didn't get it done. So, I mean, there's some serious differences here. But as far as the Canadiens, look, bottom line for me, the biggest takeaway from last night is that you got two Canadian teams on Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada going to Game 7. So from a neutral's perspective, it's going to be amazing theater.
Well, and you know what the warm-up is? The afternoon warm-up is the Bruins in their Game 7 against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes.
If the Leafs win on Saturday, you got to bear with me here. I kind of want the Bruins to win too. Just to keep the Bruins in our back pocket in case we need them.
The Schadenfreude pocket, you mean?
Yeah, in the Schadenfreude pocket.
I get you.
Well, they're cargo shorts at this point. There's many pockets.
Schadenfreude.
Are you following me though? Like
let me talk it out loud and see if I can figure it out. So if the Leafs advance,
right,
we're going to need to revel in someone's misery, and you're saying that the longer the Bruins hang around, the more potential there is for misery in later playoff rounds.
Can you imagine if the Leafs get through Tampa Bay, and then they get through either Florida or Washington, probably Florida, because I think they could. And then it's like, it's your old friend, the Boston Bruins, in the conference final.
It is a good card to keep.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
On. Yeah, no, it'd be terrific. I would love to. I mean, here's the thing.
That'd be just incredible.
Outside of you picking the Canes as a betting option for the Stanley Cup final, I have no affiliation or regard for the Carolina Hurricanes. They're a nice team. They hang around. They play good hockey, but I have no.
There was no emotion in that pick. I just looked at that team and I thought, yeah, this is a good team, and they seem to have it all, and they play well defensively. You know, that was my pick, but I have no attachment to it other than I made it my pick, and I don't really care if I'm wrong about that. I'm wrong all the time. So, you know, I'm used to it. I just want good hockey. I want drama. I want good narratives. Like, you know, people talk about how the media overplays the narratives, and it's true to a certain extent. Like, it's crazy what we do sometimes. It's like, okay, calm down, media. Like, I include myself in that.
Calm down.
But I don't think that this whole Leafs thing is a false narrative. Like, this is reality. This is what the fans feel. And I've felt that before. And maybe that's why I felt a little bit for the Leafs fans last night. Do you remember the feeling we all had when the Canucks were in the process of blowing it against the Blackhawks in the first round. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, oh my God, like the Canucks just won the President's Trophy. Everyone's picking them to win the Stanley Cup. But we all know that they had this history. They had this history against the Chicago Blackhawks where they could not beat this team. Mm-hmm. And it always seemed to go pear-shaped against the Chicago Blackhawks. And then it started going pear-shaped. Like that feeling, it was a long, people were like, oh yeah, they lost three games in a row. It's easy to say that, but you have to experience it. You have to experience the fact that it takes like 6 days for that to happen, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, well, they've lost the first one. No worries. Just get in game five. And then you're like, oh God, they lost another, and yep. Luongo doesn't look great. And then they go to Corey Schneider and they lose that one. And you're like, oh my God, the world is spinning out of control right now.
Yeah.
And the you remember the sick to your stomach feeling of watching playoff hockey, because you just felt like, it's so silly. I mean, it's just sports, but you felt like your ego has so much on the line just watching this team play, and you're just like, oh my God, if they win, I'm going to be so happy. But if they lose, I'm going to be devastated.
Coming up on the Halford
and Bruff
Show.
Nothing there. You're just going right to break.
Coming up on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650, we've got the rest of the NHL first round playoff series.
You just 1987 Canada cuffed me. Oh, nice.
We've got the rest of the playoff series to get into. We've got some guests coming up on the show as well, which I don't even think I ran through thoroughly. Jack Michaels at 7, Jeff Merrick at 7:30.
Oh, nice.
Halford Bruff Show, Sportsnet 650.
Leafs, you idiots, you joking idiots. You had all these chances to put away the Lightning. You couldn't get it done.
It comes back to Kucherov, shooting, scores! Kucherov scores to tie the game on a 5-on-3. And the Leafs are owed.
You guys seem pretty frustrated with the refs after they tied the game. What was kind of going on?
I don't have any comments about the refs tonight.
You know, we just got to put our balls on the line and go for it.
6:35 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. So that was the mashup there, laddie. That was the Joe Bowen called of the Kucherov game tying goal in the third period.
Correct. The Leafs are owed.
Owed.
That's what he said.
Because of the 5-on-3. John Tavares then talking about the officiating after the game, and that was, I don't want to talk about the officiating. And then Austin Matthews saying that they're going to, quote, put their balls on the line.
Correct.
Game 7, Saturday. Toronto.
I thought they played hockey with pucks.
Hi, Dom. How you doing, bud? Things good?
I was pretty sure that the Leafs were going to get a power play.
After
the 5-on-3. Yeah, I thought they were going to get it real quick. And I wonder if the Tampa Bay Lightning were aware of that. They're just like, all right, no penalties. Actually, guys, you know what? Don't even bring your sticks out there. Because these referees are going to be looking to call something. The David Kampf penalty, that was the first penalty that put them down, two men. Upon replay, it didn't look like he high-sticked him in the face. Now, some people will say, but yeah, but still technically, you know, his stick was up there and it maybe hit his shoulder. So according to the rule book, that's a penalty. Yeah, but it wouldn't get called.
No.
It looked like he got, I don't know who the player was, maybe Cernak, got him in the face. Sure looked like it, and he sold it well.
It was Calfoot.
Calfoot? Yeah, okay, Calfoot. And then it was Alex Kerfoot.
Another foot.
High-sticking Hedman. And that was, you know what, it was unlucky in a way, but Alex Kerfoot went in there, he was shorthanded, and he was working hard, and he was trying to waste some time, get the puck off Victor Hedman in the corner. But you could see he was trying to lift Hedman's stick, and he was trying to do it pretty aggressively. So it wasn't a huge surprise when his stick came up. So that was an undisciplined play. Alex Kerfoot, honestly, I wonder what he was like after that game. Did he just go to his locker room and just like sit there with his his head in his hands.
The thousand-yard stare into nothingness, the eternal abyss. I mean, if you listen to the panel last night, they still reference the Galchenyuk turnover from last year against the Canadiens. So imagine if the Leafs don't get this done when they talk about the – I mean, it'll be the Kerfoot game. It won't be to the magnitude of Bill Buckner
yeah.
and the Red Sox and what you were talking about earlier, but that was super costly. It was a series of events.
Mikhaev actually had a similar game to Kerfoot, and that nothing he seemed to do seemed to work.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bad giveaway on the second Tampa Bay goal when the Leafs were on the power play. That was a bad giveaway, and they went down 2-0. So that was, I mean, they came back from it. But he also had a bunch of chances to score, and he just couldn't do it. A few people texting in. Jim from Ladner, didn't the Vancouver Giants play last night? What was the score? The Giants unfortunately fell 4-2 in Game 4 to the Kamloops Blazers. So they are now facing elimination tonight back in Kamloops. So hopefully they can hang on. They've had a very, it hasn't been a super long run, but they've had an impressive showing in the WHL playoffs, knocking off Everett in the first round after, let's face it, a really, like no one saw that coming. It's not like they were playing well down the stretch.
Disastrous end of the year
yeah.
to a very irregular season for the Giants, but then go in, take out top-seeded Everett, and now it looks like it might be a bridge too far to take out the second-seeded Blazers, but you mentioned that goes again up in Kamloops.
So we talked a lot about the Leafs. We talked a bit about the Oilers. I just want to talk quickly about the other two games and series we saw last night. The Bruins forced Game 7 back in Carolina. This has been a series where the home team has won every single game. Another big night for Brad Marchand with a goal and an assist for the Bees. The Hurricanes really did blow it in the second when they couldn't score on the power play, and the yeah. Bruins penalty killing was really, really good, like top notch. It was one of those Carolina power plays where the guys were just like passing it back and forth, but you could tell there was just like no confidence that they were going to be able to do that. Like, we'd seen that from the Canucks power play a few times over the last few years where it's just like passes it to this guy and passes it to that guy, but there's like no movement. There's nothing happening. There's just like, you know, you're just fling it at the net. Just fling it at the net. Just that's all you can do because it doesn't look like you're going to do anything. This has been a weird series, an entertaining series, but just it all seems to depend who's playing at home. I know there's a lot of people that are like, why would you want the Bruins to stay in it? Just as a bit of an insurance policy in mm-hmm. case the Leafs get through. Would that not be, I mean, listeners, if the Leafs are going to make it to the conference final, would you not want them to play the Bruins? Some people will push back and say, yeah, but that means one of them is going to make the Stanley Cup final.
For me, lose there.
For me, if the Bruins make the Stanley Cup final, honestly, it's no skin off my back. I've seen them go to Stanley Cup finals. They've lost them both, so maybe they'll lose again, and you'll get that. I think it would just be absolutely so Leafs if they were to, quote-unquote, break through, and then they're like, hey, it's your old friends Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron.
Mm-hmm. That's the right now, again, I still want to see Tampa Bay win Game 7 in Toronto on Sunday, without
sure.
question. And to be perfectly honest, if Carolina beats Boston, I'll be like, all right, see you both of you. Bye. Swept them away. That is a nice, juicy subplot, is the potential of them meeting way further down the road. So I would keep it in my back pocket as well. We just got a text into the Dunbar Lumber text message in basket 650-650. Unsigned, so it must be from Gary. The refs got the memo from Gary Bettman last night. The league needs the Bolts to win 3 cups in a row. Come on. Call more penalties on the Leafs. So we played the audio from Tavares coming back in from break. If I could classify the officiating right now, and the biggest difference I've seen in previous years is that they're not putting the whistles away at moments where it's a pretty obvious penalty and everyone knows you should call it, and you don't. Because the bridge too far right now is doing it in overtime. They haven't done that yet. I haven't seen it yet, although there hasn't been that much overtime. But, for example, the Kerfoot penalty to put the Leafs down 2 skaters. It's a penalty.
Yeah.
There's no real way around it.
You jabbed him in the neck.
It's a penalty, right? You can't stab
him. Just clip him either.
Stab people in the neck. It's in the rule book. It's very, very clear as day. However, there have been instances in the Stanley Cup playoffs before where refs have just stared right at that and just didn't want to put their hand up in the air. Because let's be honest, Did you think that that 5-on-3 was ending any other way than someone from Tampa Bay scoring? Like, as soon as they got down two men, I was like, that game is going to be evened up 3-3. I was just trying to figure out who was going to score.
I wasn't actually sure, especially as that power play started. I didn't think the Lightning looked all that good.
I had never been more confident.
Really?
Just because of the situation.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where it was like, they are going to score on this power play, even though they didn't look very good on the man advantage for most of the game.
What I enjoy is the notion that the NHL does not want the Leafs to advance. Do you know how much money the league would make if the Toronto Maple Leafs went on a deep playoff run?
Pretty sure the NHL is fairly invested in the Maple Leafs' success, okay? I don't think there's any conspiracy against them. Those are just the way the calls went last night. Hey, look, in that Edmonton game, because Jay Woodcroft was asked about the officiating afterwards as well. Again, home team, LA Kings, trailing 3-2. Yamamoto gets called for a penalty with about 3.5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a time, under normal circumstances, previous playoffs, there's no way that a penalty is being called because it was pretty even the entire game. But the Kings got that opportunity with the man advantage. They didn't convert, but they got it.
Did you have trouble getting into that Edmonton game after watching so much hockey before it? Because, like, I was pretty into Carolina and Boston, flipping back and forth, at least until it became obvious that the Bruins were going to win that. I was very much into the Leafs game. And also, I was watching the Blues and the Wild pretty closely because the Wild were just not choking because the game was in St. Louis, but they just went away.
By the way, that whole series stunk.
Oh, worst another first, great call.
Worst round series I've seen.
By Halford and Brough. Like, we're so excited for this Blues-Wild series. This series is going to be an absolute war. Can't wait to watch it. First of all, most of us barely watched it because the games are on the same night as the Leafs games and the Oilers games and the Bruins games. And they're also, most of them just like, they were over before they really started. And that was the same again last night.
The second period was the difference in that game. I watched bits and pieces. I caught the second period where the Blues, it was a very, very, very telling moment for the Minnesota Wild. We're in a facing elimination, must-win game. They came out in the second period and did absolutely nothing of value. They got outshot 21-5. The Blues scored three times, and they completely wasted an all-timer performance from Kirill Kaprizov in the process. And now, I don't know. If you look at this franchise, the Minnesota Wild, you're saying, what happens now? Because they had a lot invested in trying to make some noise this postseason, knowing that the next few years are going to suck.
Totally.
There's a very good chance that Kevin Fiala is gone from this team with no notable roster asset coming back because they are so capped out.
What do you think Cam Talbot thinks of being thrown into that position?
That was bad coaching by Dean Evason.
He's like, thanks, coach. Put me in for the elimination game. That's awesome. Appreciate it.
Here, a few things at play here. One, and we had Wyshynski on at the very start of that series, and he talked about how dumb it was to not go with Talbot first and then bring Fleury in as your reliever or your mop-up guy or your cleaner, because there's proof of concept that Fleury's done it before. He did it in Pittsburgh when Matt Murray was struggling. He jumped in. So it was there. I agreed with that sentiment. I thought it was a bad move. I very rarely have seen a coach make a decision of that magnitude while facing elimination, while your goalie wasn't the problem. That was the thing. He did a changeup. That's what it was. It was, we got to change up the energy here. But it's very hard to do that in an elimination game.
Talbot did not play a single minute of that St. Louis series before he was given the start in Game 6.
Since, he hadn't played since April 28th.
April 28th to May 12th. And then all of a sudden, our playoff lives are on the line. We're on the road. Good luck. And then surprise, surprise, he let in a stinker really early, and it was pretty much over. Have we given the Blues enough credit? Like, have we talked enough about this Blues team that finished really, really well? Now they're going to get a really tough test in the Colorado Avalanche, who, if you remember last year, swept the Blues out of the first round. I'm not going so far as to predict that the Blues are going to get their revenge on the Colorado Avalanche, but I just wonder if we talked enough about this team and how good it is.
No, we haven't. I kind of mentioned it a couple times during the regular season where it was like, man, this team has actually turned the page from being led by certain guys to now it's like Kyrou and Thomas. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly's still a fantastic player and everything, but I don't think that they really, and Husso was a big story as well, but then of course now Jordan Binnington's the starter. I just don't think they, let's be honest, if we're talking about capturing the imagination of listeners, mm-hmm. like the first 27 minutes of this show were dedicated to the angst and the and that feeling of dread and the looming specter of another failure. That's compelling. What's compelling about a Blues team that won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago and is still really good because they just had a younger crop of good players? You're almost jealous, to be honest. That's how I look at the Blues, and we should have paid more attention to them because they just took care of a very good Minnesota team. And I know that in the, it was funny. I was listening to their postgame press, and they were talking about what a challenge it was for Minnesota, and I almost wanted to be in the press room and be like, really? Are you sure? Because it didn't look like it was that difficult to get rid of Minnesota. Like, I just felt as though we were anticipating that whoever got out of this series would be bloodied and bruised and all busted up. And now I'm looking at the Blues and saying, you got a pretty good test in the first round, but nothing killer. And now you've got an opportunity to take care of a Colorado team that everyone's going to be picking mm-hmm. in the set. Like, no one's going to be picking the Blues. So they got a great opportunity to go in almost with, like, not a lot of pressure.
And all the pressure's on the Avs.
And with a really good team.
Yeah, for sure.
And they get to play that card that we got embarrassed in the first round last year.
Torgy texts in, what's Fleury's contract? Is he a free agent? If so, do you think he retires? He is a pending unrestricted free agent. In fact, the Minnesota Wild have a pretty interesting goaltending situation because Cam Talbot only has 1 year on his contract before he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Talbot is feeling a little disrespected by the organization right now. Now, mm-hmm. they did draft a goalie in the first round, Jesper Wallstedt. I don't know if he's ready to go, though. Like, he's 19 or something like that?
He's a few years away. Laddie's shaking his head, he's not ready to go.
He's really, really good, but he's not going to be in the NHL. Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do next season. Probably Cam Talbot and just find a backup. Mm-hmm. Will Fleury retire? That's a good question.
I don't think he'll be back in Minnesota, I'll tell you that.
Or Vegas.
There's a pretty decent chance he calls it a career after this. I think this year probably...
This year was hard on him, I imagine, getting traded, going to Chicago, struggling through a season with pretty bad Chicago team, and then going to Minnesota and having it end the way it ended. Mm-hmm. After I just say that, maybe he wants to go out on a better note.
Frank from Nanaimo, thanks. He wanted to ask, since we're answering some questions here, in the Tampa series, what was with the chin strap controversy? It was on the tying goal. Braden Point didn't have his chin strap done up, and that's against the rules. So if you want to Chris Paul this thing, technically he could have gone up there. I don't think it's up for review.
No. The guys explained this at the intermission. The rule is that you can put your helmet back on, and you don't have to have the strap on it. So it actually wasn't. Oh, okay. It wasn't a penalty.
No, I know, but I think that's what
that's what they were saying. Yeah, that's right, what okay. they were saying. He's like, he didn't have his chin strap on. I was like, are we having our first chin strap controversy?
I was really
is this happening?
Yeah, it was Friedman that broke it down. Nah.
Yeah, he broke it down after. He's like, you don't need to have your chin strap on.
But I think that's what the Leafs were arguing, among other things. I think
they were.
They were also trying to argue that there was some interference on Campbell on the game tying goal. And I guess if you really squinted your eyes and thought really hard, you mm-hmm. could have come up with maybe Corey Perry got his stick involved, but there was no way they were going to overturn it. I know they deliberated for a while at the bench. I saw Sheldon Keefe kind of hemming and hawing.
Well, he had a big decision to make, right? Yeah. Because if he challenges it and he's wrong, and then the Lightning are right back on a two-man advantage. I don't think that's worth it. Can you imagine if he'd made that decision? That'd be awesome.
You want to talk about curses and having things going bad for you on the way back home? Let's say Keefe challenges that call at 3-3. And the challenge fails, and they stay at 3-3, and the Bolts go to a power play and score again and win 4-3.
Right.
Like, Sheldon Keefe is a dead man walking.
That's when Keefe has to go back to the dressing room and set something on fire so the arena gets evacuated and the game has to be abandoned. Because
I don't even know what you say in those moments. I don't think you could say anything. I think you just have to be like, I see you in Toronto. I know that's on me. We'll see you guys back there for Game 7. Okay. We've run through a lot of the season. I think we touched on everything we needed to get through with regards to the Stanley Cup playoffs. We kind of didn't give a lot of shine to the Boston-Carolina series, but to be perfectly honest, I'm glad that one's going 7 because there's been no rhyme or reason to the series other than home team wins. So it's just, I saw some people saying it's very fitting that Toronto and Tampa Bay is going to 7 because that's what it was always destined to be. I feel the same way for Boston and Carolina. I think Carolina's been the better team. And I'll say this out loud, I think Toronto's been the better team through 6 games.
Right.
But it doesn't really matter right now because it's one game, winner take all.
Marchand scored a goal last night. that brought me back to a dark place. Go watch his goal and the shot that he had last night to score, and then go compare it to the goal he scored on Luongo in Game 6, which was the first goal of the night in Game 6, and I think was the goal that basically won the Bruins the Cup.
Right.
Because the Canucks actually started out okay in Game 6 in Boston, and if you talk to people within the organization, they say that was the game that we were going to win the Cup with. I think they were a good example of maybe the dead men walking theory.
Back into Game 7?
Back into Game 7, where they were just like, well, dead and injured, right? Mm. Like, they were so banged up. But after winning Game 5, and Luongo had that great performance, and, you know, it was a very close game, but they pulled it out in the end. And then that was the game 6. But Marchand goes in and rips just a perfect shot off his off wing. He did like the exact same goal last night. And I was kind of like, oh, that looks familiar. He is such a good player, man. It is infuriating that he's so good. He's gotten to the point now where I'm watching Bruins games and I'm like, does he ever take a shift off? Or does he ever go to the bench? Because he seems to be out there every shift. Like, he's always out there. And I don't like the way the first hour of this program is going with me talking about the Leafs and how I felt sorry for their fans and how Brad Marchand is such a terrific hockey player,
admiration,
but that's the reality of it.
Admiration for a Bruin on the Halford and Brough Show. By the way, he now leads the franchise all time in history with goals in elimination games with 10.
He's so clutch.
So not
he's
only
so
does he, clutch. Yeah, not only does he score goals, he scores in really big moments. Speaking of really big moments, three teams are facing them tonight, and depending on what side of the ledger you're on, they're equally big. You got three teams that could advance to the second round. You got three teams that are looking to stave off elimination and get to a Game 7. The Rangers are in Pittsburgh tonight. We don't know a lot about this series other than Sidney Crosby's health is hanging in the balance. We know the goalies, I think. It's the Rangers that are obviously favored tonight on the road, in large part because of that Sidney Crosby question that's hanging in the air. Rangers are at 180, Penguins are at 205. If you like the spirit and the fact that it's a home team in an elimination game in Game 6, you might want to throw down on the Penguins there. Florida and Washington, another interesting one here, because while Washington is the team staving off elimination, they are also a fairly decided underdog. I do wonder if the odds makers here have just said that we feel like Florida's wrestled away control of this series.
I need a Game 7 in this one just to get me into this series.
Fair enough.
I haven't been in the series. For some reason, I don't know why.
This is the Eastern Conference version of St. Louis and Minnesota.
It seems to me like this slate of games is, and might just be my emotional involvement with some of the teams, like cheering so actively against the Leafs. Mm-hmm. But this slate of games, Colorado and Nashville barely existed.
Nope, it was a non-factor.
Calgary and Dallas, let's be honest, a lot of the game action has been, well, let's just call it a bit of a chess match. Florida and Washington has been intriguing in that Florida has made it, Washington has made it tough at times on Florida, but Washington making it tough on Florida doesn't exactly make for great hockey. Penguins and Rangers has been a good series with a lot of action, but I think that's the main one that I've been focused on Calgary because they're Canadian team, but like in terms of entertainment, Penguins Rangers on this slate of games has been good.
So Washington at 255, Florida at 154. Finally, in the last game tonight, Calgary can punch its ticket to the second round. They're at 160. The Dallas Stars are at 240. At the break, I'm going to put together a survivor's parlay where I bet on all three going to Game 7. That's what I'm going to do at the break. Coming up after the break, Jack Michaels, play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers. They got a Game 7 on Saturday. We'll look back on Game 6, preview Game 7 against the Kings. That's coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.